yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Report. And now, Hal Lindsey.
Good evening and welcome to this special edition of the Hal Lindsey Report, the 2017 prophetic year in review. Jesus said that in the last days, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. In a broad sense, that's true of all years, but 2017 was different. It was rife with rumors of warfare at a level never seen on the earth before. Our look at 2017 starts with two nations at the heart of those rumors. One or both may one day make up part of an alliance known in biblical prophecy as the kings from the east. Let's begin with China. In its end of the year report, the Eurasia Group said that China leads all geopolitical risks going into 2018. There are several reasons why it would be a good pick. To begin with, their war production is off the charts. Their weapons factories are state of the art, pioneering the use of robots in such facilities. Each robot is ultra efficient, doing the work of many humans, and robots never rest. China's new generation of weapons factories operate around the clock. U.S. armed forces are highly dependent on the Global Positioning System, or GPS. But China has found ways to defeat GPS. According to Bill Gertz of the Washington Free Beacon, China is building an array of high-technology space arms, anti-satellite missiles, lasers, GPS jammers, and killer satellites that Beijing says will give its military strategic advantage in a future conflict with the United States. The People's Liberation Army now has the capability of attacking, destroying, or disrupting the 500 U.S. satellites circling the Earth at heights of between 1,200 miles and 22,000 miles. According to a new study by a U.S. think tank, the National Institute for Public Policy. Folks, China's military is preparing to dominate the world. In December, they introduced the DF-17, a new ballistic missile that uses hypersonic glide technology. These missiles fly extremely fast and at very low altitudes, too low for easy detection. They totally defeat America's vaunted THAAD anti-ballistic missile defense system. China also leads the world in the engineering of genetically modified super soldiers. Nations like the United States have strong ethical constraints in these areas, and that's good. But we need to know what we are dealing with. Since Nixon, U.S. presidents have worked to make China a friend. But when push comes to shove, China always seems to side with our enemies. For instance, in 2017, they held joint naval drills with Iran. In October, China's president made a 3.5-hour speech in which he laid out China's plan to, in effect, rule the world within 30 years. And that's just what they're willing to say in public. The greatest source of war rumors last year was North Korea. Like China, it may also be one of the Bible's kings from the east. On July 4th, North Korea launched its first intercontinental ballistic missile. Parallel to the Earth, it travels only 600 miles, but it flew upward more than 1,700 miles into space. Flatten the arc of that trajectory, and you have a missile capable of hitting the continental United States. Later in the year, they sent a missile even higher, 2,300 miles into space. That's 10 times the altitude of the International Space Station's orbit. Their first ICBM proved that they could hit the U.S. mainland. Their second proved that they could hit any target in the United States and practically any target in the world. Also in 2017, North Korea claims to have tested its first hydrogen bomb. That claim is supported by seismic data from the region. In other words, their test shook the Earth so much that only one kind of weapon could have caused it, an H-bomb. In December, Kim Jong-un's regime said it will continue preparing preemptive attacks with nuclear force. Preemptive means that they're getting ready to fire the first shot. When he came into office, President Donald Trump had hopes that China would help with North Korea, but it's not working out that way. In December, President Trump tweeted, "Caught red-handed, very disappointed that China is allowing oil to go into North Korea. There will never be a friendly solution to the North Korea problem if this continues to happen." Senator Lindsey Graham offered a grave assessment. He said, "I would say there's a 3 in 10 chance we use the military option. And if Kim orders another nuclear weapons test, Graham sees the odds going up dramatically to 70%. In 2017, people all over the world began to prepare for the unthinkable. Secretary of Defense James Mattis ordered the armed forces to stand ready in case diplomacy fails. Officials in Hawaii, Somalia, Japan, South Korea, and elsewhere began preparations for nuclear war. North Korea also seems to have another trick up its sleeve, bioweapons. According to the Washington Post, North Korea is moving steadily to acquire the essential machinery that could potentially be used for an advanced bioweapons program from factories that can produce microbes by the ton to laboratories specializing in genetic modification, according to U.S. and Asian intelligence officials and weapons experts. There are reports from Japan that North Korea is already loading anthrax into ICBMs. The presence of anthrax in a recent defector seems to confirm these reports. How's that for rumors of war?
This may be our greatest opportunity, maybe even our last opportunity, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ before we're silenced by political correctness. The message that God has given me is more important now than it's ever been, for the church and for the nation. That's why I'm asking you to help me to expand our reach.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.
And thanks for being a vital part of my team.
In 2017, European leaders may have finally begun to see how vulnerable they are to the Muslim immigrants they have been welcoming for decades. Turkey's foreign minister told his European counterparts, "You have begun to collapse Europe. You are dragging Europe into the abyss. Holy wars will soon begin in Europe. That is the ultimate threat. The Crusades have been reversed. Muslims have been streaming into Europe for the 3 decades, and holy wars will soon begin." In the Netherlands, Liberal Prime Minister Mark Rutte had to sound like a nationalist just to be reelected. He took out a full-page newspaper ad telling immigrants, "Act normal or go away. Go back to Turkey." That's a stunning turnabout for the liberal leader of a bastion of liberalism like the Netherlands. But it seems to be too little, too late. Sweden began accepting large numbers of Muslims in 1975. Since then, violent crime has risen 300%. Rape increased 1,472% from 421 in 1975 to 6,620 in 2014. On Fox News, Tucker Carlson said, 50 years of immigration policy is coming to flower in Europe. We're not paying any attention. We're not drawing any of the obvious lessons from it. It's not working. That's the real point here. Despite official denials, there really are no-go zones in both France and the United Kingdom. Such neighborhoods are forming in other nations as well. The bottom line is this. Most European Muslims are not assimilating. In April, the citizens of Turkey voted for constitutional amendments that removed almost all the checks and balances of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's power. Front Page magazine wrote, "This Turkish-style presidential system means Erdogan will have the power to appoint and dismiss ministers and high-level state officials without the need for parliamentary approval. He will also be able to declare a state of emergency, issue decrees, dissolve parliament, and call elections without being held to account." Erdogan has long held delusions of a worldwide Islamic caliphate with him in control. Most of his fellow Sunni Muslims find that idea repugnant. But after the referendum passed, he saw opportunities to expand his influence. The first came when Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Egypt, and United Arab Emirates cut diplomatic ties with Qatar. They said they were doing so because of Qatar's support of terrorism. I documented that fact on this program 3 years ago. Erdogan didn't care. He stepped into the gap and befriended the Qataris. Turkish troops are now in Qatar. This gives Turkey a military presence in the Persian Gulf. Erdogan also seems to have designs on the Red Sea. The Jerusalem Post reports, while Iran has taken the world attention, Turkey is stealthily pursuing the goal of developing a military and intelligence infrastructure on the Red Sea. As 2017 came to an end, the people of Iran took to the streets. It began as an economic protest and grew from there. Iranian unemployment and inflation are high, while wages remain low. So where is the money going? Iran's economy is centrally planned. The government runs most major industries. Iran has some of the largest reserves of gas and oil in the world. When President Obama's Iran nuclear deal opened the door to that fuel, governments and private corporations rushed in with armloads of cash. Iranian coffers should be overflowing, but they're not. That's why the people in the streets are no longer just protesting the economy. They're protesting Iran's involvement in Syria, Yemen, and Lebanon. People in the streets have been chanting, "Death to Hezbollah." Why? Because that's where their money is going. As fast as it comes in, Iran is spending money to build up its own military, arm Hamas in Israel, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the Houthis in Yemen. I'm no fan of Saudi Arabia, but the destruction of Yemen is not the Saudis' fault. The blame falls squarely on Iran. They armed the rebels and stoked the fires of sectarian hatred. in Lebanon, they have armed Hezbollah to the teeth. And now they want to build missile factories in Syria. In other words, the money from Iran's oil and gas has not helped the Iranian people. It has funded foreign adventures for the power-hungry mullahs who run the show. And that is one of the most sobering things I can tell you. Perhaps the biggest prophetic story of 2017 was the historic alignment of Turkey with Russia and Iran. Ezekiel 38 gives a list of nations that will one day launch a massive assault on Israel. Two of the nations are Russia and Persia, or modern Iran. Several of the nations listed correspond to places within modern Turkey. How could Ezekiel see an alliance between these unlikely nations 2,600 years ago? Such a prediction would have seemed absurd even 10 years ago. Russia and Iran are traditional enemies. 2 years ago, Turkey and Russia were at each other's throats. Turkey had shot down a Russian military plane, and the Russian ambassador to Turkey had been assassinated. Putin blamed Erdogan. Above all, Turkey was and remains a member of NATO. Turkey and Iran represent different kinds of Muslims, Sunni and Shia. They are natural enemies. But with stunning speed, Turkey has joined the alliance with Russia and Iran. It shows how quickly alliances can shift. From a secular standpoint, it is stunning. But from a prophetic standpoint, it was inevitable. The United States began fighting in Afghanistan way back in 2001. In 2017, young American women and men were still fighting there. Why? In April, the U.S. dropped a massive ordnance air blast bomb on a terrorist cave complex near the Pakistan border. The bomb is also known as MOAB, or the mother of all bombs. MSNBC anchorwoman Joy Reid tweeted, why are we MOABing Afghanistan? That would have been a valid question on September 10th, 2001. But in 2017, the answer was obvious. The U.S. is at war with the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS, all of whom are still fighting in Afghanistan. We're MOABing Afghanistan because we're at war. As 9/11 showed, Afghanistan is important to American security at home. As much as we hate it, war is sometimes necessary. And in Afghanistan, it's still necessary. In 2017, ISIS was largely defeated on the traditional battlefield. Most of its strongholds in Iraq and Syria were retaken. But the ghost of ISIS remained. And they haunt the whole world. ISIS-inspired terrorists lurk in the shadows. They killed thousands of innocent people last year. ISIS terrorists are not limited by national boundaries. In 2017, what ISIS called officially endorsed operations included actions in Australia, Bangladesh, Belgium, Egypt, France, Germany, Indonesia, Iran, Israel, Italy, Jordan, Kenya, Russia, Spain, Sweden, Tunisia, Turkey, the UK, and the United States. They used bombs of various kinds, guns, vehicles, knives, and arson. ISIS lost a lot in 2017, but they have not gone away.
Hal Lindsey's look back at exciting and contentious 2017 in the light of Bible prophecy is now available on DVD. The Prophetic Year in Review 2017 DVD can be yours for only $14.95 plus shipping and handling. To order your DVD of Hal Lindsey's Prophetic Year in Review 2017, call toll-free 1-888-RAPTURE. You can also visit hallindsey.com or write to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74147. Order your DVD of Hal Lindsey's Prophetic Year in Review 2017 today.
Since the time of Abraham, the small acreage atop Temple Mount has been one of the pivotal locations in world history. In July, four Palestinians smuggled guns into the Temple Mount. They used those guns to shoot Israeli police officers, killing two of them. When Israeli security reopened the area, they required Muslims to pass through metal detectors. For years, all non-Muslims entering the area have been required to go through metal detectors. So it shouldn't have been a big deal, but it was. After days of rioting and condemnations from world leaders, Israel capitulated. Palestinians demanded special treatment, and they got it. They don't seem to realize that these kinds of actions keep them poor and isolated, angry and miserable. Regarding the temple and the Temple Mount, Bible prophecy is unmistakable. First, Jesus said the temple of his day would be destroyed. That happened in 70 AD. But the prophet Daniel said the Antichrist will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate. To fulfill that prophecy, another temple has to be built sometime before the middle of the tribulation period. Right now, in Israel and elsewhere, thousands of Jews are hard at work preparing to build the temple and resume temple sacrifice. The Palestinians seem more aware of this than many American Christians. They feel certain that their hold on the Temple Mount is slipping. The Israeli government is adamant that it isn't so, but people on the street, both Arab and Jew, expect it and soon. At the beginning of 2017, Palestinians thought Trump might be their guy. On May 12th, the Jerusalem Post reported Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has crossed the Rubicon and voiced unprecedented readiness to reach a peace deal with Israel. Abbas, according to sources, made this clear to President Donald Trump during their meeting at the White House last week. When Abbas met Trump, Abbas was effusive in his praise for the American leader. He commended President Trump's leadership, courage, wisdom. He tried to flatter Trump with talk of your great negotiating ability. In English, he added, "Now, Mr. President, with you, we have hope." But by the end of the year, things had changed. On December 6th, the president formally recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. At that point, Abbas decided to cut the United States out of any peace process. Throughout the year, the 82-year-old Abbas tried to create a joint government with Hamas. Those efforts seemed to be failing. In December, Dr. Eli Carman, a scholar at Israel's International Institute for Counterterrorism, told the Jewish News Service, "Hamas is just waiting for Abbas to die." Meanwhile, Hamas remains committed to terrorism, and they have increasingly closed ties with Iran and Hezbollah. In March of 2017, the UN's Economic and Social Commission for Western Asia declared Israel to be an apartheid state. They said, Israel has established an apartheid regime that systematically institutionalizes racial oppression and domination of the Palestinian people as a whole. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres used a technicality to reject the report. But it again shows the worldwide antagonism for Israel, just as the Bible predicted for the end times. Associating the word apartheid with Israel has become a cliche among Israel bashers. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, said, "The attempt to smear and falsely label the only true democracy in the Middle East by creating a false analogy is despicable and constitutes a blatant lie. The continuing battle against Israel seems illogical until you realize the spiritual dimensions of it. Outside of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, nothing proves God's faithfulness to His word like the Jews and the nation of Israel. He made great promises to that people, and before our eyes, He is fulfilling those promises. Satan would like nothing more than to make God seem like a liar. That's why destroying Israel has become for him an all-consuming obsession. But God is in control, and His word will be done." Next time, we'll continue our look at 2017, the prophetic year in review. I'll see you next week, God willing.
You've been watching the Hal Lindsey Report. To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.